6 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. I want to thank Lemons Heating and Cooling. Talked to Jerry yesterday, man, and I'm telling you, they are busy. People are getting the message, but they bust their tail to make sure that they can squeeze you into the schedule. You know, as Jerry was telling us, like, everybody's calling now. Everybody's calling Lemons Heating and Cooling because, A, they do good work, and B, they're marketing. They're all over the damn place. So their reputation continues to grow the better jobs that they do. And we know. I got a friend of mine who just called him the other day and needed him to come out several miles out of town, and it's an emergency air conditioning problem, and they got right after it. He needed a new system because it was an old system. They took care of it quickly, got it done, and now the guy's back to being cool inside of his house. You don't want that to be you. This is the time of the year when those air conditioners are working so hard that there's a chance they could break down. That's why you got to have Lemons Heating and Cooling's number with you at all times. 970-567-0798. They'll fix you up if you're having issues. That's Lemons Heating and Cooling. Check them out online at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Sean Payton has absolutely blasted Nathaniel Hackett. Of course, I just ran into Tanner Schwint, co-host of Good Morning NoCo. What do you think his thoughts are on it?
Who cares?
Yes. Sean Payton. I love what he said.
He's the dog.
He's the dog. He's got that dog.
Super
get him.
Bowl and here comes Tarzan.
Something about a cow appeared in that story. Somewhere.
You started. Oh, I love it. That's one of the best things ever. he said he loved it. He loves this right here. Oh, man, there's so much dirt around that. There's 20 dirty hands for what was allowed, tolerated in the frickin' training rooms, the meeting rooms, the offense. I don't know, Hackett. A lot of people had dirt on their hands. It wasn't just Russell. He didn't just flip. He still has it. This BS that he hit a wall, shoot, they couldn't get a play in. They were 29th in the league in pre-snap penalties on both sides of the ball. Then he went on to say it wasn't Russ's fault. That was the parents who allowed it. That's not an incrimination on him, but an incrimination on the head coach, the GM, the president, and everybody else who watched it all happen. Now, a quarterback having an office and a place to watch film is normal, but all those things get magnified when you're losing. And that other stuff, I've never heard of it. We're not doing that. Did he just throw... He threw everybody under the bus. Are we good with that, George Payton? Are we good with that, Walter Penner? Walter Penner Group?
I mean, if you want to take George's sippy cup away and ask him to make a statement, I don't know, because he is in the corner watching cartoons.
He's watching cartoons while Sean Payton's out there lambasting not just Nathaniel Hackett, but the parents that allowed them to do it.
Who are the parents?
George Payton's one of them. The owners are the other. There's a lot of parents over there, and they allowed it to happen, and he's calling it out.
You mentioned 20 dirty hands. Is that 10 people or
no.
20 people using one hand?
Probably 20 people using one hand, because
it could be
it's
a
gonna
mix
be...
of both. You know, it could be 5 actual people using both hands and 10 people using one hand.
I don't like this. The more we talk about it, I don't like it. You're throwing everybody under the bus.
It's a little weird for me because it's not from a training camp press conference. This is just an interview with USA Today.
Yep.
It feels, the way he is saying it, it feels like he's been thinking about it for a while and he just wants to get it off his chest. I don't know if right now is the best time to do that.
Or release it.
Or even say it at all.
When did he do the interview?
I don't know, but now you're getting Jets people upset. Brees Hall, yeah. The running back, he just tweeted out, LOL.
Well, and
Billy Turner,
who played for the Broncos, now plays for the Jets, right?
Mm-hmm. He put on his Instagram story and calling, you know, they realize he's in a, you know, he's up crap creek without a paddle, and he's just trying to soften the blow.
Then he says, blanking bum.
And something about Bounty Gate.
Then he said, ooh. Hashtag Bounty Gate, hashtag childish. There's ways to go about doing things, man. There's ways you can address, you know, hey, things last year, the way they did them, it didn't feel right. You know, some of the things that I looked into, it's just not my style. It's not the way I would do
them. We're doing things different.
Yeah, why? What is there to gain? I keep seeing Denver media apologists for him.
Sean Payton sounds like a very media analytical take.
Well,
like if he was on a Fox pregame show, that sounds like what
exactly.
he would be saying.
It's,
they were
not,
29th in
yeah,
play
they were a joke. They were the worst team ever. That sounds like stuff we would say.
You don't say that about your own team.
But now you've got Denver media apologists basically saying Sean Payton knows exactly what he's doing. He does everything on purpose. Let's pump
yeah, he pays
the brakes.
Players to hurt other players on purpose.
Let's pump the brakes here on like he has this master plan. And I'm excited for him as a coach for the Broncos. We need a good coach around here, and I'm tired of it. But stop acting like Sean Payton has earned all this unlimited trust from you. He has won one Super Bowl with a Hall of Fame quarterback. He doesn't get to we don't just get to brush it off and go, he has a plan for everything. Bill Belichick, everything he does is on purpose. Sean Payton is not in that category. Andy Reid is in that category. He does everything on purpose. Sean Payton is not there.
If he had taken a year off from just coaching in general and wasn't doing anything else and then decided to come back to coaching, I would take this a little differently. But the fact that he left coaching, went to media, and got to see this sports world from our side of it, and you see how different it is and how one little sentence can be the entire narrative for your team, that's how it feels like. And now it's, I know all of this stuff about the media, so I'm going to try to outsmart you by saying these specific things or attacking the players or coaches or the teams in a media sense, not as I'm the head coach of the Denver Broncos.
Well, and Jeff Legwald, who did the cover of this, of his statement, Jeff Legwald is a Broncos insider. He works for ESPN. He did happen to note here that, you know, he made it a point to obviously mention Sean Payton met with USA Today. He said this in his article, Jeff Legwell did. Payton has been offered plenty of opportunities, has been asked about Wilson and the Broncos' performance multiple times locally, and the strongest comments he made were that the offense as well as the team's play overall in the 5-12 season was hard to watch. That's all he had said up to this point to local media. He said something about Wilson would not be allowed to have a personal quarterback coach or other support staff of his own in the team's complex. That was the most he had really said to the local media. Jeff Legwald did note that he deflected multiple questions about Wilson to over 50 media members of local media just minutes before all this stuff came out. And then his comments to USA Today, he just opened up completely. So he didn't want to talk to the local media. He didn't want to give them anything, but he gave USA Today everything. So again, you're starting this thing off on a bumpy road. You're already, now you got local media pissed at you because you didn't answer their questions, but you gave USA Today everything.
Jets coach Robert Saleh spoke about this earlier at his press conference. Quote, I'm not going to acknowledge the comments made by Sean Payton. He's been in the league a while and he can say whatever the hell he wants. If you ain't got no haters, you ain't popping, so hate away. Obviously, we're doing something right if you got to talk about us and we don't play you until week 5.
Yeah, why bring up the Jets? What good did that do? He said this again for those that missed it. He's talking about the Broncos, but he's also talking about the Jets. He said, quote, it doesn't happen often where an NFL team or organization gets embarrassed. And that happened here. Part of it was their own fault relative to spending so much time trying to win the offseason, the PR, the pomp and circumstance, marching people around and all this stuff. He went on to talk about the Jets. We are not doing any of that. The Jets did that this year. You watch Hard Knocks, all of it. I can see it coming. Remember when former Washington owner Dan Snyder put that dream team together? It was I was at the Giants in 2000. I was a young coach. I thought, how are we going to compete with them? Deion Sanders is there now. That team won 8 games or whatever. So listen, just put the work in.
The pomp and circumstance he's referring to about last year with Russell and the media and Hackett, why would you not promote your new head coach and new quarterback?
All of what happened last year was harmless enough, and it made sense.
His point about the losing made it magnified, I agree with.
Agreed, yes.
Because every social media team does this kind of stuff. They embarrass the Bills just put a video of all their players wearing dresses. Say what you want about the Bills, but that's their thing. But every media, they all do weird things. Again, they're interns. They're 20-year-olds in there trying to make just a couple bucks for the summer.
Well, and your job is to promote your program and or your team or whatever.
It's to get clicks and likes and engagement on social media. And that's what they look at those numbers and say, oh, we got 30,000 likes on a video of Russ saying, let's ride. People like it, people hate it, but we're getting attention to it, and that's getting us money we can take to our investors.
It's like primetime. If he has a bad season this year, then all the stuff looks bad. If he wins, then it looks freaking smooth, man. Doesn't mean it's over for him. It just means that it looks bad. So that your job is to promote, and that's what the Jets are doing. That's what the Broncos are doing. Eastside Chris says, Brady, probably not good to badmouth your bosses. Pressure is on him now. Oh, 100%.
You're indirectly badmouthing your boss.
Dixon just mentioned, Jets coach just responded, which you just read. Is it just me, or is he doing exactly what he said he didn't want people to do, starting blank in the media? It's exactly right. This is. I don't trust him, dude. I at the very beginning of this whole thing, I get that he's a good coach. Maybe a great coach.
Reservations about him.
Yeah. So when this deal happened, I'm like, wait, you're going to give up another first round pick for this guy that was that was the coach when Bountygate happened, one of the biggest scandals or whatever you want to call it in NFL history. He tried to cover it up. And then when the going got tough with New Orleans and they started to get bad and they lost Drew Brees, he got out of Dodge. He left. Unlike what we're seeing.
And left them in cap hell.
Yeah. Unlike what we're seeing with Sean McVay and the Rams. He left. They're in a tough spot, and he even came back and said, "I'm not going to, tuck and run here. I'm going to try to get back and get this thing back on the right track." I do fully expect Sean McVay to retire in the next 5 years. I think he does want to be in the media and doesn't want to live that lifestyle of a head coach, but he's standing by what he built there. He's the guy who said, "Blank them draft picks. We're going to build through free agency." Well, now it's coming back to bite him in the butt, and now they were the team with the most draft picks in the league this year, so he's trying to get it right. Sean Payton didn't do that. He going got tough, he got going. And now that's your head coach. So I was those things that I just outlined were why I didn't want to trade anything for him. If he was a free agent coach, I still has my reservations. Brady, you just said maybe great coach. Do you really feel down deep that his resume is worthy of great? What's his record, Angel? He's got the Super Bowl. He's got, he's been to the playoffs a lot. Is he great? Do I really feel that he's great? I feel like he's one of the big name coaches that's, in that mix of one of the top coaches. I would say. I mean, he's been to the playoffs a lot. He's 9-8 in the playoffs. He's a 500 type playoff guy, but he does have the Super Bowl.
Winning percentage, 153 over 89, so about .632 winning percentage.
Is that great? Add a Super Bowl to that? I'd say he's probably borderline that, yeah.
I mean,
do I really
good
feel
coach.
That? Yeah, I think he's a good coach. I just think this kind of stuff is what I thought was going to happen. I'm not falling for what we fell for last year with primetime, with Ed Lamb, with Sean Payton. I'm not falling for anything.
Well, last year we wouldn't call it out.
Yeah,
we would notice it, but that's not a big deal. It's whatever.
If they won, it wouldn't have been. Mm-hmm. But
good or bad, if your coach does something, you got to talk about it.
We didn't really view it as red flags when those were red flags. We didn't view the Star Wars stuff and Sierra oohing and aahing and Russell freaking Wilson. We didn't view that stuff as red flags. They were red flags that set this thing up for failure. Hackett was a good friend, not a good leader. He may someday be that. He might be hardened now, and he's not like this nice lovey-dovey guy anymore. He might actually be a jerk. He's growing a weird...
He's growing that beard.
Oh, my gosh. That is one of the silliest looking beards I've ever seen.
Fuel to the fire.
Yeah. I guess that's him now.
Now the Jets are going to have the number one offense. Good job, Broncos.
This is bearded Hackett. I'm not the same as non-bearded Hackett. I don't take crap from anybody anymore. Do you remember in South Park, one of the first seasons, they all had doppelgangers? Is that what
gangers.
They're? Gangers? Doppelgangers? Dang it. I tannered it. Doppelgangers. And there was like an alternative universe, and it was all of the South Park characters, Cartman, Stan, Kyle, or Cody. What are their names? Kyle
you
and...
You had it.
Kenny.
Kenny.
they all were the same exact looking guys, but they had a beard.
Mm.
They're just the rounded goat, you know, mustache and the goatee. Mm-hmm. They were the exact same looking. They all just had beards, and their personalities were opposite of what the other guys were. That is Nathaniel Hackett now. This is different Hackett. Nice guy is done. Mean Hackett is stepping in, and you don't want to see Mean Hackett.
Aaron Rodgers, who's that guy?
Don't care about you, Rodgers. You can't have your own office. I've changed my ways. Dixon says, 3 of those 9 playoff wins came in the year he won the Super Bowl. So besides that year, you could actually say he's average to below average.
I mean, there was that streak of like 3 years where they got knocked out in the second round. It was like, it was the Minnesota miracle, and then it was another Minnesota one. It was the Rams missed pass interference game, the Philly Super Bowl run that they went on.
Yeah.
They beat that Saints team.
I don't think he's average to below average, Dixon. I mean,
he is a very good NFL coach.
Yeah, he's, I mean, how many seasons of, you know, in 2009, they were 13-3, 11-5, 13-3, 11-5, and then a stretch of 500 football, and then 11-5, 13-3, 13-3, 12-4. Is he a Hall of Famer? No. Doesn't have that on his resume. But he's not below average. He's not average. He's a good coach. Maybe I pushed it a little bit with the great thing, but he's a good coach. But this is not a good move. What he's doing here. He complained about the gambling thing, too. Earlier in the week, it was big news when, you know, Uwazurke. I don't have to get it right that much longer because I don't think he's ever going to be a Bronco again. Mm-hmm. Gets suspended for gambling. He's out for the year. Sean Payton blasted the NFL for that. He was talking about accountability and violations against these players. He said, when you have a bunch of players getting D's, you have to start looking at the message. And we have a lot of D's in our league this year with this policy. Does that mean a
grade? The message is fairly simple.
Don't freaking gamble. And you know, the other thing is, he said a comment here. I want to find it. You can't bet on NFL football ever, ever, ever. He said when asked what he told players in the spring. I don't give a blank what it is. The other thing is, it's the same as the gun policy. You can't bet on nothing if you're at your facility, your hotel, your airplane. So wherever you can't carry a gun, you can't place a bet. Okay, I get that. But here's what I don't like. He said, I know this. There's a handful of owners that are owning these problems. He said, a player can't have a share of DraftKings or FanDuel. It's shameful, embarrassing. So he's basically saying they get punished for gambling, yet the owners are making money off of gambling. It's very hypocritical. Well, don't you think beer sponsors football, beer sales, Bud Light, Coors Light, all those beers? Well, you still can't go get a DUI. You still can't get hammered in practice. I know gambling and drunken driving is different, but just because they have a relationship with these advertisers doesn't make it okay for you to do it. If you screw with the integrity of the game, then your fat paycheck goes away because people stop watching.
Cannot control whether a receiver has plus 65 yards or not. That's up to the receiver or the quarterback or the whatever. That's up to the players on the field. The owner, whether or not they have a partnership, whether or not they're actually gambling, it doesn't matter. They're allowed to do it. You, the player, are affecting the game.
I would say the owner should have the same rules as a player, but they can own a share of FanDuel. Yes, they can have them advertise inside their games, just like beer sales. They're not telling you to go get hammered either. They're advertisers. That's what football ultimately is. It's just a way to sell products.
Well, even the NFL gambling rules are, you just can't bet on the NFL, and you can't do it in your team facility. You could go home and bet on any college football game you want to. Just do that.
Yeah, just do it at home, and don't do it on our facility. And don't bet on the NFL, and don't play fantasy football.
You can blame the teachers in this scenario all you want, but it's up to the teacher's assistants to enforce the teacher's rules.
Yeah, I just don't like the whole, well, the owners get to get money from
FanDuel.
It's
like, I told my team not to do it. They still did it, but I told them not to, so I'm going to say the guy above me is the blame.
So Sean Payton's just on this crusade of blaming everybody. George Payton was bad because he allowed Hackett to be bad. Hackett was bad because he was bad. The president of the team was bad because he allowed bad things to happen, like quarterbacks getting their own office and things like that. The Jets are bad because they're promoting their quarterback. The NFL is bad because they take money from DraftKings and FanDuel, but then they suspend players for gambling, and they just cut them out. Now, should a player that gambled be absolutely forced out of the team completely. Like, he doesn't have any contact with the team. He's done. He is done. He's treated like he committed a crime. You know, should that be the case?
I'd be interested to see the NFL's reasoning for these length of suspensions. If it's based on if you bet on your team, how much money did you bet? Like, if was it a $20 bet versus I spent $30,000 on a bet? Like,
I don't know. I bet it's...
Because we're seeing like three games, games indefinitely.
Uwizurke bet on NFL games last year. That's what we know. So that is more severe than betting on a basketball game in the team's facility, is my guess. So a year...
And that's like what the Detroit players
are doing. So you're out a year if you bet on the NFL. And if you bet on games inside of your or inside the arena, in facilities or buses or whatever, then it's six games or something like that. Do I agree that a player should just be excommunicated for gambling and they can't have any contact with the team? Dude, I'm telling you, this is the biggest thing. This was what we could bring down your this could find. This is the one thing that could bring the NFL down is getting a whiff of fixing games or messing with the integrity of games, and they take it seriously. So I. They know the rules. It's pretty freaking obvious. Don't bet on the NFL. That's the number one rule. Don't talk about Fight Club. Don't bet on the NFL. That's the first rule of gambling and not gambling in the NFL. But Sean Payton is on a crusade right now, and he is just roasting everybody. And he's saying it to all this to USA Today. He's mad about the gambling. Doesn't think they should do it, obviously, but he's comparing the fact that owners take money from gamblers. Now, I talked about this the other day. It is kind of funny because the NFL fought it for so long, and now, like, they make bank off of gambling. It's business. I get it. But to say that it's shameful to move these guys on, and then he's basically saying there's a level of hypocrisy as the NFL partners with casinos and sports books with open arms. Well, they partner with beer companies, too. They don't want you getting hammered. They partner with a lot of companies. They still don't want you.
Can't drink a beer on the sideline.
No.
You can do it when you get home after the game, sure.
Right. We don't want you drinking in our facility unless it's like deemed a party and it's like okayed. But we don't want you bringing a six-pack into your locker room.
There's no need for it there.
No.
You're not there to drink. You're there to work.
It's the same thing. You're not there to gamble. And gambling is, you know, you can't gamble on our games. You just can't. Sean Payton should know this, the look. But he's also the guy that okayed Bountygate. So why wouldn't he be mad that players are gambling? You know, why does he think that it's just okay? Because he got suspended for a year for doing much worse. 28 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out and take a quick break here. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. More of your thoughts on Sean Payton and all that. See you to the Big 12. Sounds like it's a go. And what does that mean for Colorado State? The future of the Pac-12, the future of the Mountain West, all that and more coming up next.
Mr. 700-plus wins is on KFKA. Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado. And you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Thirty-three minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, a little fiery there. I'm a little spicy on the Sean Payton thing. It doesn't mean I'm not rooting, or I'm rooting for him. I'm excited for the Broncos. I do think Russell Wilson's going to turn it around this year, and I do actually appreciate Sean Payton going to bat for Russ. You know, he's been pretty silent on going too far in one way or the other on Russell Wilson, but in this case, you know, he did defend him. He's like, hey, this. The idea that he just hit a wall is BS and that he lost it. No, there's a lot of hands that messed this thing up last year. So I do appreciate that. It's just like you didn't get enough out when you're in the media. Now you're just crapping all over the place. I mean, what did the Jets do to you, bro?
Yeah, it's just strange, you know, going after Hackett directly. Or, you know, you could have just said, you know, last year things weren't great here and, you know, we're working to make things better. That's all you had to say, you know. Directly calling him out, calling out the Jets doing Hard Knocks. Like, how closely are you paying attention to the Jets training camp?
Yeah, why are you worried about the Jets?
You shouldn't even know who's on Hard Knocks unless you're, you know, a media person would know that. The Denver Broncos head coach shouldn't have that directly in his head.
Surely.
I wonder if we're going to catch Hard Knocks tonight. I know the Jets are on there.
surely this is going to work out, right?
You want me to tell you?
Yeah. Are we going to have another fiasco on our hands with the head coach?
I don't think it's the head coach.
You think it's Russ?
I think it's Russ. I think Sean Payton will outlast Russell in Denver, but this may not be the brightest point in Broncos history.
You know, Jim Harbaugh would never say anything weird.
Nope. He'll just offer a recruit a cheeseburger and get suspended for 4 games.
You know, I'd take
a cheeseburger right now.
I would take a cheeseburger, probably from Cables. Oh, sounds pretty damn good. I just don't think Harbaugh would get on and do the whole paying attention to the Jets. I think he'd be like, I'm not paying attention to what that team's doing over there.
Well, bringing up some random story about Dan Snyder from 2002 when you were with the Giants.
And then
I couldn't even tell you the quarterback for the Giants in 2002.
Let me take a guess. Oh, I've got his. I've got his face in my brain right now. I cannot. In 2002. I've got his face. The hell was it? Who was it? It's going to drive me nuts.
Kerry Collins.
Kerry Collins. I had it. I got there, Angel.
Number five.
Could not get it out of my head. I see his face in my brain, in my mind's eye. It's weird, but I see it. Yeah, I mean, why are we bringing up Dan Snyder? Why are we bringing up the Jets? Why are we bringing up how bad the gambling situation is? Why are we bringing up there's hypocrisy? Yeah, there's hypocrisy in the NFL, but that's not one of them, really. It's not hypocritical for the NFL to take money from DraftKings and then not allow their players to play it on the NFL. They can play it, just not on the NFL and not on their facilities.
I like the use of your word crusade, because it does kind of feel like Sean Payton stepped away from football, went to the media side, gathered all this information, and is now approaching his return to the NFL as, I am going to be this shining light that's going to revolutionize the NFL and make all these necessary changes to make it better. I am the crusader.
He's talking like
he's on like some holy mission to make the NFL better than it is.
Because he's got all the answers.
Yes.
Flying Dutchman says, nice Caddyshack reference there. Sean Payton's record without Drew Brees? Did Sean Payton have 1 year without Drew Brees? They were 9-8 his final year. I think that he retired after Drew retired after the 2020 season, I believe. So I want to say that his record is 9-8 without him.
2-1, I think.
So he did play. He didn't play in 20. Didn't? Yeah, he didn't play in 2021. And Peyton was there in 2021, because that was Jameis Winston, wasn't it? He had Drew Brees essentially from when he started, because
9-8
9-8. So he's and again, I don't know how many games he coached without Drew Brees. Like, did he get hurt and stuff like that? I don't know. But I can tell you that when Drew Brees was not contracted with the Saints, he was 9-8. You know, Bill Belichick without Tom Brady didn't make the playoffs the first year. So I don't put a lot of stock into it because he has such a big body of work. But it was all with Drew Brees. I mean, Brees got there in 2006. Came over from the San Diego Chargers at the time, and they were 10-6 their first year. They were bad before that, and together the two of them won quite a few games. But without him, he was like a 500 coach, but that was only 1 year. Am I talking myself into being worried about this upcoming season? Because I was against the Sean Payton thing, kind of, but at the end of the day, I was still like, yeah, but he's going to be a good coach, and they'll get this thing right. Now I'm starting to go, is he a little unhinged here? Is he a little too, is he paying attention to too many things that he shouldn't be paying attention to? And he talks about hypocrisy in the NFL. Is it a little hypocritical of him to now go on this crusade
And when he was telling all of his other guys to stay off Twitter and stay off all this stuff, we want to be an anonymous donor, you've thrown everybody under the bus in, like, the span of 5 minutes.
It seemed like the approach to Sean was, let's just stay quiet, because he said, you know, we're going to stay quiet, we're going to keep it low-key, we're not going to put everything on social media and all that. And we were like, okay, that's cool, we want to see that. And now training camp is just getting started, and this article comes out, and it's like, why did this need to come out now? Why did this not come out before you became the head coach of the Broncos?
Or yeah, you know, at least give us some time to, you know,
right,
think about it. Now it's because, training camp is tomorrow.
There's trauma from it from last year. There's, God, I don't want to get my hopes too high. I'm excited for a new coach and this, you know, this new era of Broncos football, and we're excited, and you want to be, but you also have to be cautious about it because this is the future of the franchise.
Yeah.
Whether it's Russ, whether it's Sean, one of these guys is the future.
Stickman says, I love that Broncos fans are already questioning what's going on. It's going to be a long year. I've got some extra Chiefs gear.
It's been a long 7 years. This is all a culmination of everything after the Super Bowl.
Well,
it's been a strange chain of events.
And then you get desperate. When you're bad, you get desperate. And the Broncos hired Hackett and traded the world to get Russell Wilson because they were desperate. They had a joke of a coach last year and then went out and traded a first-round pick for Sean Payton because, again, they were desperate. You got a guy that's actively putting down the management. This quote here, that wasn't his fault, referring to Russell Wilson. That was the parents who allowed it. That's not an incrimination on him, but an incrimination on the head coach. We already know you think Hackett's a joke. The GM, which is essentially would be your boss, George Payton, the president, which is also your boss, and everybody else who watched it all happen, which is everybody. All your bosses now.
So now, like, the fans are at fault for everything that happened last year because we didn't do something to intervene?
We tried. We made fun of Russ as much as we possibly could. It didn't seem to work.
We've been telling you guys, stop posting videos of Russ.
If you're George Payton and you read that comment, like, how are you not supposed to get pissy? The person that's supposed to be your underling, which we all know is not the truth.
I mean, does Sean make a comment like that knowing that George has no power?
Oh, yeah. George has zero power. Sean can do whatever the hell he wants. They traded the world, and they're paying him the world for him. So they brought him in to be the sheriff, and that's what he's doing. He's sheriffing right now. 42 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, Mike Prater, who's with the radio station The Ticket in Boise, Idaho, he made mention in the clip we played earlier where he said, you know, Eustachy was good, had some good things going. I thought it was weird that he, like, singled out Eustachy because you had Jim McElwain, you had Nico Medved go to the tournament, and David Roddy, and some good things going on. But he singled out Larry Eustachy. This might be why. According to Jordan Kay of BNN Broncos Nation, the Broncos have added former Utah State, Iowa State, and Colorado State head coach Larry Eustachy as a senior advisor to the head coach. His role is basically to coach the coaches. It is a volunteer job for Eustachy, who's already living in Boise. People just choose to live in Boise, huh? Sorry, Cody. That's why he singled out Eustachy then, I guess. Oh, man. So we're going to have him on tomorrow. I think he's highly entertaining. I disagree with him on a few things. Saying, you know, stadium doesn't do anything for you. What, you don't like nice stadiums? You know, you don't like fancy, nice, comfortable stadiums? I love Canvas Stadium. That place is awesome. It's a great place. That is the big selling point for CSU. I haven't really asked this today, Angel. Was it a good move for CU to move to the Big 12?
I think so.
Are they going to get spanked, though? I mean,
I think they're right around there with the level of competition in the Big 12.
Yeah, because now
Oklahoma and Texas leaving, it takes them down just a notch.
Is the Big 12, with those two teams leaving, is it good?
they're better than the ACC at this point, I'd say.
I mean, who are your selling points now? You got Cincinnati, who's
new team.
Houston, football.
That's a football market for sure. They're a new team as well.
You got K-State.
Yep. TCU.
TCU, yeah, there you go.
Kansas, Iowa State.
Yeah, West Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Because right now it's SEC, Big Ten. They're the top dogs. And then I would say Big 12, ACC, and then Mountain West, Pac-12.
Is Oregon, though, more attractive than any of those teams?
To which conference?
It's just as far as like fans liking this team, Oregon over any Big 12 team.
Probably. I'd say so.
So this, if Oregon doesn't leave, I'm just, the first time it's kind of hitting my brain, is this a good move for the Buffs? And they're a better conference and they have a better TV deal, which is what this is all about.
Mm-hmm. They're getting like, what, $30 million from this?
Yeah. Yeah. Seven, like Mountain West schools pay like $7 million or something like that. 49 minutes after the hour. We'll take a quick break here. What did we learn today on this 27th day of July? We'll find out next.
The Joker gets the last laugh. The Nuggets are the champs. Celebrate with us on KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what did we learn on the 27th day of July? I'm learning a little more about Sean Payton. That he's throwing stones all over the place, calling out the Broncos president, basically the GM, for allowing this to happen last year with Hackett and Russ, calling out Hackett, calling out the Jets, calling out the NFL and their gambling policies. Sean Payton, man, I hope his focus is on football and not so much all the other stuff. Angel, what'd you learn today?
Just a little bit ago, I learned the Broncos fans will defend Sean Payton to the ends of the earth.
So they're going at it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You know, thinking this is
just fine.
Loving
every word that he said and loving that.
He threw his bosses under the bus. Is that okay? Like, that's just okay now? Sean Payton
gets
that?
He's Sean Payton. He can do whatever he wants.
He's getting that benefit of the doubt from you guys. Mm-hmm. Even though...
The same benefit of the doubt you gave to Russ, now you're giving it to Sean.
Yep. It changed. It was Russ. Now, Russ is bad. Hackett's terrible. Nope. Sean Payton, though. That guy. Now he's our savior. Come on, Broncos fans. Just don't get duped again. I'm not saying it couldn't be a good season. Just don't get duped. What else did you learn?
I learned that with CU moving to the Big 12, more than likely CSU is a prime candidate to make a Power 5 jump. You have to approach this season and the next few seasons with the mentality that we can be one of those big schools. Enough with this little brother mentality. It has to stop at some point because Big Brother in Boulder is in the weight room getting stronger.
Yeah, they're and they made the move for better or worse. They're going to a bigger conference with the TV deal intact and everything, and it probably is the right move. Even though the Big 12 is not as attractive as it is, like this is the last year of Oklahoma and Texas, so. If they can bring CU and Oregon in, they're going to look to add. They're going to look to add some more because they got to make this thing. They got to compete now with the SEC.
And the Pac-12 would need at least 10.
Yeah. And the Pac-12's got to just pick up the pieces, man, because they might lose Oregon. I would imagine Oregon is in some kind of conversation right now about where they're ultimately going to go. So we'll be excited. Angel and I are going to start working on Football Friday. We're recharging that. We won't have that tomorrow, but we'll get back into that. Let's go next week, man, because next weekend... Don't we have the preseason game or the Hall of Fame game? Yeah, next weekend is the Hall of Fame game. We're getting football back on the tube. Did Fox 31 figure their crap out yet? I sure hope so. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.